Well, praise the Lord. What a wonderful name that is. Amen. I just think those songs are so beautiful. Tells us all about our Father and how wonderful He is to us all the time. Not just every now and then, right? Father, I truly do thank You for those who came out into the house tonight to sit at Your table to be fed fresh manna from heaven. I ask, Father God, that You meet their needs tonight. I ask that Your holy angels go to and fro throughout the chairs tonight. Father God, I ask that You finish the works that You started in Your people. And Father, I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God was among us tonight as we sang in a mighty way because I saw Him. He stood before me and He said, I'm with you tonight. I'm always with you. And God is saying the same thing to each and every one of you in here tonight. He's always with you, just not every now and then. Even when you're in your sin, He's with you. You know, He sees all and He knows all. God doesn't forsake you just because you went into sin again, but He does encourage you not to do it again. He does encourage you to go forth, repent and go forth and live the holy life that He's called you to live. God wants me to teach on faith tonight. I think we need to get back to basics in our faith because, you know, where we're at in our faith isn't working, right? So I think we have to go back to basics. And 1 John 5:1-5 says, whoever believes, that's the important part, that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So you're going to have to believe that He is the Son of God in order to get your faith really working really strong. I really believe tonight that what we need to do is go back to being little children, just trusting God, you know, just whatever His Word says, that's what it means. Don't dissect it. You know, don't question it. Just, that's how I started. I read the Word. It said I could raise the dead, so I raised the dead. I read the Word. It said you can heal the sick, so I prayed, and God, it was God who did it. God healed the sick. Whatever I read in the Word that He could do, I believed it, and He did it. And God says, whatever you place your hand to do in faith, I will do it for you. Say, whatever you place your hand to do in faith, I will do it for you. And I was thinking last night about this, and I remember we used to have revival here all the time. You know, like God said one time, this just stands out because it blew these people's mind. There was five people sitting back there in the corner. You know, the church is packed out. And God just, you know, He speaks through me. And He just said, the five of you, come up here right now. Well, they had never been in a Spirit-filled church before, all right? So they jumped up and came up here. And I said, stand right there. And it was a command, stand right there. And raise your hands. And down they went. And they were out for quite some time. Now, why did all that happen? And the angels were here, and the angels knocked them out. But see, I was just simple enough then that I would just yield to God and let Him do whatever He wanted to do through me. Now, another thing is, see, you need to know that you have to go at this like little children. You know, kids trust you. And this, we have to trust God like little children. I remember one time I was praying for people and God said, I want you to shake that person really hard. And I said, I can't. It was my praise and worship leader. And I said, I can't do that. And I didn't do that. And God said, she said to me afterwards, God told you to shake me really hard. Why didn't you do it? I am now. If you would have shaken me, I would have been unbound. But now I'm still bound because you didn't obey God. See, she heard God's voice too. She was a prophet also. And I didn't know she was bound, but God knew it and she knew it. And if I would have, then I read Robert Laird's book, where he was, one of his books where he was praying for these women, older women, you know, rich women, had their hair off and buns, you know, and little pins in them. And when he got to them, God said, shake each one really hard. Did you read his book on that? And so he looked at me, he said, I can't shake these ladies. He said, I said, shake each one of them really hard. He said, I shook them so hard their pins flew out of their hair. And they went out in the spirit. When they got up, they were just so happy they couldn't. I can't remember it all. But anyhow, they were delivered and set free, even though he didn't want to do it because, you know, after all, these are rich women, you know, and he didn't want to offend anybody. We cannot be concerned about. I wish I'd have read his book before God told me to shake that girl, all right? I would have shaken her. But we can't be worried about offending people. We need to be concerned about what God's word is telling us to do and then do it. But make sure you're hearing God. Make sure you're hearing God. I remember one day I was ministering and I was walking up the aisle and Brother Larry was sitting at that end seat there and I went by him and God slapped him in the face. And I thought it was a little tiny tap, but the whole church had it smacked. And he said it actually hurt. And I forgot what God said to him, but anyhow, it did whatever it was supposed to do. But God just took control of my hand and just hit him. He knew I wasn't going to do it on my own, so he just hit him. So what I'm saying is, now, please don't take this and run with it and do the things you want to do. Sock somebody in the nose. Say, God just told me to do that to you. Or God took my hand and socked you in the nose. See, because I know this is what happens in the body of Christ. I'm trying to teach you because God wants you to understand, just be a vessel that he can work through. Don't conjure anything up. You know, Barbara was telling me, she was asked God, how am I going to introduce her? She should have just got up here and said, God, you introduce her. But see, she fretted over all that. And, you know, just, God, you say what you want to say through me. And when you do that, then God says what he once said, nothing more, nothing less. Little children, all right? Let's look again at verse 4. Who whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Question, isn't the word born of God? You know, the Bible, isn't it born of God? Answer is yes. Won't the word of God overcome the world? Yes, it will. But only if it is mixed with faith. God has been dealing with us that we are in a time that we walk by faith and not by sight. God's word will do whatever it said it's going to do if it's mixed with your faith. You can't say, oh, well, God said, and just see if God does it. Now, that's not faith. That's challenging God. You have to do it. All right, so, you know, the God says, word says we can heal the sick, right? And so my grandson came home from the hospital, a year old, and they put a cast on his leg. And they said he'll always wear that cast. He'll always be crippled. In fact, he'll have a cast that has the bars in between. And he won't ever be able to do this, won't be able to do that. And when Teresa Ann was all through telling me what he couldn't do, I took a hold of him. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to take the cast off. You can't do that. I said, well, yes, I can too. Because God's word said if I pray for him, he'll be healed. Right? So I prayed for him, and I took the cast off. And she said, what am I going to tell the doctor? I said, well, just tell him I'm crazy, and I soaked it off. And when she took him back up to AI DuPont, they said, what happened to his cast? And she said, he got it wet. But anyhow, they x-rayed his leg was fine. They said, he doesn't need a cast, he'll be fine. You know, they said, the home these little metal shoes with the bars in them, you know. But God's word said, and see, I was dumb enough to believe the word. And so I just did things like that. And people would look at me, and my husband would say, you're going to get in trouble doing stuff like that. I said, well, God's word said I can do it. And so that's what I did. When God's word said you can raise the dead, I prayed and the dead raised. You know, God's word didn't say you can raise your dead animals, but I prayed over a dead animal and that dead animal came back to life. But it just said you can raise the dead. It didn't say what kind of dead. Amen. Come on. I was just simple enough to believe everything. And it says you can cast out demons. And I went to this church where they did do deliverance. And this one woman had a demon. And I was working with her. And the pastor came by and said, stop working with her. And I said, but God's getting ready to release her. He said, I don't like her. Stop working with her. And he made me leave her, and she's still bound up. Last time I saw her a couple years ago, she's still bound up. But I know that I know that I know that if I'd have kept praying for that woman, her head was permanently like this. And I know that God was going to release her head. But the pastor didn't like her, so, you know, he made me stop. But he said, Barbara, you just can't do this to everybody. I said, yes, I can. I said, you walk in the Spirit. You told me that I should have faith, and I do have faith. And so if God's Word says it, I can do it. Do you really believe if God's Word says it that you can do it? And I was talking to somebody today, and I was remembering when we first started in my home, we was talking about deliverance, and I said, you know, I remember that whenever we'd have the service start opening up, here, you know, the people start coming in, demons start just jumping out of people all over the place. And so instead of us having a regular service, we just did deliverances all during the service and set people free. See, the anointing was there, and I was dumb enough to believe that if I was just in a room, I had enough of God in me, and when a demon come in, he couldn't stand it, and he'd have to leave just like he did with Jesus. Isn't that what happened? When Jesus walked into a room, the demons fled. Where have we gone from that faith down to this lower faith that we're walking in? See, the deliverance team, you should say, well, I have so much of Jesus in me that when I walk in front of you, that old demon in you is going to leave and he won't be able to stay. I have to do deliverances on little Isaiah every now and then, and quite more then than that, you know, all the time. And it'll say, you're not going to work on me again. And it screams at me. I say, oh, yes, I am. Oh, no, you're not. And he's strong. That demon's strong in him. And he fights me. But he comes out. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I say, oh, yeah, you are. Because the Christ in me is a whole lot stronger than you are. And you know you have to bow your knee to me. I know, but I'm not going to. I say, oh, yes, you are. And they come out. And his father comes and says, when are you going to quit doing that? I said, when he's free. I'm not going to stop until he's free. And now I say, okay, everybody, I'm doing a deliverance. Don't walk through that door. I don't want none of your doubt and unbelief coming through that door while I'm doing this deliverance. Do you understand that? Because you're going to have total faith in that room, because the devil's going to latch onto that doubt and unbelief, and he'll fight you. He'll have to leave if you persist, but he'll fight you. You're going to have to know that you know that you know that if God's Word says it, then you can do it. But then you can't be this like the seven sons of Sceva too, and be in sin and cast out a devil. They'll beat you up. Come on. Going to have to walk in holiness, purity of heart. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you walked up on the streets one Saturday and you had 10 people there, and all those demons started coming out of those people, you know? Wouldn't that be awesome? My neighbors, when I had church at home, they said, you scare me. They love me. But we were doing deliverance one night. They just watched exorcism on TV. And we were doing deliverance in the house because the demons were manifesting, and we had to take one person outside because they were bouncing back and forth between the two people. Well, anyhow, his son said, Mom, you've got to come and see what Barbara's doing over there. And so they snuck down the tree line, was peeking around the tree, and that guy levitated. And people as big as Chris were trying to hold, get him back down, and he was not going nowhere. That devil wasn't. And they finally got him, you know, got him delivered. But they kept just bouncing back and forth. We got them both delivered. We had to separate them. She said, did you really cast out a devil? I said, yeah, you ought to come and just watch it in person. Oh, no, saw enough, she said. But you know what happened later on? I don't know why I'm on this little trend. They moved out of that house they lived in, and somebody else moved in there, and they had to have somebody come in and do exorcism on their house. They wouldn't ask me. But anyhow, they brought these exorcisms in, quite a few groups of them, until they finally, I guess the house is free. I quit checking on it. But they actually would be sitting down in their den, and this little girl would walk in, and she'd say, you're in my house, and she'd throw things at them. Pictures would fly off the wall. I mean, all kind of things. They had a little dog, you know, the people that were, not the people who were living there, but the little spirits that were in there. It was a little dog and a little girl and a father. And they would do all kind of things trying to get them out of that house. They said, this is our house. You cannot live here. And I don't know how it became their house, because they built their house the same time we built our house. And I don't know how it got demon possessed, but it was, or whatever you call that. But finally, they said the pictures quit flying across. The spirits are in there and said, well, we just might as well quit scaring them because they're going to try to get us delivered. But really, every deliverance team that went in there said, or whatever they call house people that do that, they didn't leave. They're still here. So I don't know what's going on over there right now. But I just keep pleading the blood of Jesus around my property. And I tell them, you're not coming over here. No way. No way. Because I know that if I put the angels around my property, that my property is protected, right? And you're not going to invade. This is my pea field. You're not coming into my field. Isn't that what the word says? He can't come onto your property. So you're going to have to know the word, and you're going to stand by faith on that word. And it's your house. Don't let the devil invade it. You hear me? I have people in my house that have devils in them. I said, you're not coming out of them or living in my house. You're going to stay right in there. That vessel doesn't want to get rid of them. You're going to stay right in there, but you're not going to come and invade my house. All right? Come on. Somebody in here had to hear that. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 talk about the Holy Spirit being grieved with those who fell in the wilderness and could never enter into the promised land. They fell or were overcome in the desert. All right. Hebrews 4:2 explains why. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. That's why you can have a whole room of people wherever you're preaching. Some will pick up the word and some won't. Some will have faith to believe it and others won't. In fact, we get that a lot. They start questioning, well, how come this and how come that? They couldn't receive because they had no faith to receive. All right. I think really what you should do, I'm picking this up, is before you come into church, God, stir up my faith and let me have faith to pick up and believe what you're trying to tell me in here today. Right? I do that whenever I'm even reading the Bible. God, I just want to speak into my faith, and I'm telling my faith to come alive so I can believe everything that I'm reading in the way that, in the context that you want me to, hear it and see it. And then you stir up your most holy faith and get your faith going. Joshua and Caleb faced the same wilderness and hardships and heard the same word preached that the rest of them heard, with one difference. Joshua and Caleb heard the word with faith. They believed what God said and were willing to stake their lives in it. They, by faith, overcame. All right? Everything born of God depends on faith. There is nothing, no thing in this world order that faith won't overcome. No thing. Your faith can overcome every obstacle. It really can. And some of our faith has been sorely tested lately, has it not? You know, and the devil, like God told us in that prophetic word this morning, he's working overtime trying to destroy God's houses. All right, everything born of God depends on faith. Oh, we read that. Let's again look at 1 John 5:4-5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That's what overcomes. It's our faith. It's not your neighbor's faith. It's your faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, what is it that overcomes the world? Our faith. Your faith overcomes every obstacle that's placed before you. Questions. Who has that faith? Who is included in the word our? It's he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, when I was first born again, I went home to Pennsylvania to visit my mother, and I come back and I walked in my living room or my den, and there sat two women. One had her feet propped up in my coffee table, drinking a beer and smoking a cigarette. And the other was sitting there watching TV, smoking a cigarette. And I walked past, and when I walked past, I was so mad. I didn't allow any of that in my house to begin with. And I got to the kitchen, turned around back, and I said, I don't know who you are, and I don't know who you think you are, but you get yourself up out of my house right now. And then one lady was drinking the beer and smoking a cigarette. I said, what? I said, this is my house. You're invading my house. You're smoking and drinking in my house. I want you to get up and leave right now. And she said, I'm not leaving. I said, yes, you are. Long story short, she left. And my daughter was out in the yard working on a van, her van. She was a witch. And that was her van that my daughter was working on. And as she was going through the door, she said, "You'll be sorry for this." I said, "No, I won't." But I'll tell you what, those witches put me on a trip. My daughter said, "Mom, do you understand what you just did?" I said, "Yeah, I just kicked them out of my house. You don't smoke and drink in my house. You know that." "But that was a witch. And she's the head of the witches. And you're in trouble." I said, "No, I'm not. I have God as my protector." I'm still living today. And that was 30 years ago. She did put me through some trips, but she couldn't overcome me. Do you understand that? I said, "I'm not afraid of a witch." She said, "You should be." I said, "I'm not. I have God on my side. And my word says that God's going to take care of me." See, that's how dumb I was. I mean, no, I really wasn't dumb, but you know, I was just naive, and I just went along, and I just believed God's word, and I knew he was going to protect me, and I didn't care if you was a witch or what you were. You could not overcome me. Are you understanding this? Then I read about Job. Because God said, "Daughter, you're going to go through a Job experience." I said, "All right, well, let me read about Job." Well, I didn't like what I read. And God said, "The enemy has come to ask for you, and I have given him permission to have you, but he can't kill you. And this is what he's going to do to you. He's going to turn you every which way but loose. Going to put you through a lot of problems." He said, "But when it's all finished, you'll be standing on your feet facing me and rejoicing." Well, all right, so I heard all that. One day, so a couple days later, I was out in my yard washing my car, and here come the devil. He's a handsome little dude. Do you know that? Blonde hair and blue eyes. And he started talking to me, and he started telling me what he was going to do to me. And I laughed at him. I said, "You can't." He talked to me for 1 hour. I said, "You cannot touch me." Forgetting about the Job thing that God just told me about. Well, when he left, I was laughing at him as he walked away. He put me through the loop. And sometimes during the loop, I would say, "God, I'd just soon die as continue down this road." But God said, "I told you you'd be standing rejoicing." He said, "Just hold on." See, God had allowed me to go through that to prove to the devil that I wouldn't leave him in the midst of if he put me through all these tests. And I just had enough faith to know that God was with me, and God had already forewarned me, and so God was going to protect me. What did he do to Job? He did everything he could, stole everything from Job, he said, but he couldn't kill him. And Job had more in the end than he had in the beginning. So after I went through my Job experience, you all know then God said the whole church, you know, the body of Christ is going to go through Job experiences. And so if you were going through rough times, that's what was happening. You were going through Job experiences. But if you don't hear God's voice very clearly, you didn't know what you was going through. And so you were just going through and holding on, just thanking God it was soon going to end. Amen. But your faith, it was my faith that kept me holding on, because he put me through the loop. I mean, he did. He did everything he said he was going to do. And I laughed. I said, "But you can't kill me." See, I didn't really understand how hard the devil could really attack you until that time. I still have my faith. I love my Father through it all. And it gives me a testimony to tell others that when the enemy's after you, he can't really kill you. And just keep going. Just keep praising. He puts all kind of things on your body, but that's only to try to scare you and try to make you believe that God is not able. But God's in his word said he's able. He's a great physician, right? So we trust the great physician. We don't trust the circumstances. We don't trust the symptoms. All right? All right, I said, who is included in the word hour? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Question number two. Do you believe what I just said? Of course you do. Then world overcoming faith is in your spirit right now. If you believe what we just read, then world overcoming faith is in your spirit right now. It does not have to come from heaven or anywhere else every time you need it. The Word of God tells you to build up your most holy faith. Isn't that what it says? And every one of us have a measure of faith when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And every time you go through a trial or a tribulation and you stand on God's word and trust God, then your faith is being built up, right? Sister Nancy was telling me, and she was scared, she was in fear, she wouldn't never go into an elevator. And she said now she gets in an elevator and zips all over the place. God took that fear from her. She had faith enough to believe and trust God that I'd say, come on now, Nancy, you can get into an elevator if there's nothing in there. And finally, you know, she had enough faith to believe that she could get in that elevator, and now she can. The only thing that's in there is God. Amen? Come on. All right, your faith does not have to come from heaven or anywhere else every time you need it. It came when you made the decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. It was the creative power of God that recreated your human spirit. Ephesians 2:10 says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, not the devil's, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Beforehand. He already prepared you to walk in them. He already prepared you to be simple like a little child and walk in childlike faith and just believe that God could do anything he said he could do. We had a wolf, a real wolf, my daughter did as a pet, and nobody could touch that wolf except me. All I'd have to do is walk in his presence and he'd sit. Anybody else go in his presence, he would take that chain as far as it would go, and he was out for meat. He wanted to kill. And my husband said, how come when you go out there, he just sits there and goes, you know? And he let me do anything I wanted to him. At that point, I didn't understand that that devil and that wolf knew that the God in me was greater than that devil and that wolf. Are you understanding this? Come on. My husband eventually got rid of the wolf, though, because it wanted him really bad. Really bad. See, the devil and my husband was a devil saying it didn't a wolf, and they were fighting one another. That's why you have to live holy and walk boldly. And there's no devil in hell can take you out. Unless God, remember what I told you this morning, God said to me, daughter, you don't have no place in heaven. And I said, what? And he said, your work on earth isn't finished yet. He said, I know my word says that my son says I go and prepare a place for you, but it's not your time to come here. I was wanting to go. And he said, it's not your time to come, so there's no place in heaven for you right now. But when I'm ready to take you, there will be a place for you. So here I am with my faith, plowing forward, doing what God's called me for to do. Do you understand this? Quit wanting to go. If you want to go somewhere, go and preach the gospel. Amen? God doesn't need you in heaven. He really doesn't. He needs you right down here in this earth being a vessel of honor that he can work through. Are you listening here? And if you're a leader, then you have to be bold as a lion. And you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. And you have to teach others to be bold and ferocious and go forth and destroy the enemy's camp. Come on. You don't scare me. Because I know I'm a child of God. And I know what God's called me to do. And you can't undo what God's done. If God did it, then you can't undo it. If you did it yourself, then it can be undone. But I know who called me and I know why. And I'm not brazen about that. I just know. And see, you have to know that, and the devil knows that I know. Say. And see, and he knows whether or not you just think you were called. And he knows whether or not you know that you were called. I remember one time we was doing Brother Allen one time, doing deliverance, and that devil in him said, I know who you are. And he was afraid of me. And I said, yeah, I know you do. And it had to come out. And see, that you have to be that way if you're going to be in deliverance, or you're not going to set anybody free. In fact, them devils are in no people are going to jump onto you. Isn't that right, Brother? He tried to do deliverance, and he wasn't free. That devil caught him up against the wall. He learned to get free after that, though. Didn't you? Okay, you were born again, not of corruptible. I'm having fun with this tonight because you know what? The devil is so mad. He is so mad right now. He'd like to come over and smack me in the mouth. You know? Come on. You were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. There are no spiritual birth defects. You did not get saved, born of the word, and left without faith. Nor did you receive an inadequate amount of faith. No, the seed is the same for everyone. We all receive the same amount. Jesus, the author of our faith, has seen to that. Well, God shows partiality, and he just gave you more faith. No, that's not true. One time I prayed for a man, and God raised him from the dead three different times in the hospital. He had cancer. And so he finally got healed. And each time, he didn't want to come back. He wanted to stay in heaven. And he told us later that each time that, you know, he came back, he said to God, why do I have to go back? And God opened up to heaven and said, he looked down, and he saw the hospital room, saw him laying in the bed, and saw me beside the bed praying. He said, because she's praying, you have to go back. I just have to send you back because she's praying. And he died three times. The last time he died, the nurse came in and said, ma'am, I'd just soon you leave now because he's dead. His heart has quit beating. And I said, I'm not going anywhere because he's not dead. And next thing you know, his heart started beating again. She said, I can't believe this. Well, that time when he came back, he said, okay, Barbara, he said, I'm going to stay this time because God said I had to. But I'll just make up a date. It was in October. I'm going to stay here until October 22nd, then I'll go home. So he did. Whatever date he picked, that was a date. And he was home a couple of weeks, and I was at work, and God said, daughter, I'm going to take, I'll just say Dick, I'm going to take Dick on home. Oh, no, you're not, I said, and I jumped out of my seat, when, you know, I was in work, and ran in the bathroom, and I said, God, what do you mean you're going to take him on home? He said, daughter, each time I sent him back, I gave him an order he had to do. And he hasn't done any of it. He gave him three, and he even told us what God told him to do. He isn't going to do any of them. And if I don't take him, right now he's saved, and right now if I take him, he'll go to heaven. He said, but if I don't take him right now, he's never going to serve me. He'll go to hell. He said, and God said, but it's in your hands. It's your decision. Do you want me to take him, or you want to keep him here? And I sat and thought a little bit, and I said, well, I guess as much as I want him to stay here, because he's a young man and God had spoken a lot of wonderful things over his life, as much as I want him to stay here, if he's not going to serve you, go ahead and take him. And so God said, okay, 5 o'clock in the morning, you're going to get a call saying that he's dead. That's what happened. Now, God did that because of my faith. And I thought, after I thought about years later, I thought, how awesome that God said, it's up to you whether he lives or dies. You know? If I'd have been selfish, I said, well, I want him to stay right here, but not when he was going to go to hell. See, if you have faith, and if you really follow God with all of your heart, you have a lot of leverage in heaven. You do. My one pastor that died, I was up in Pennsylvania because my husband's mother had died, and we were doing her funeral, and I got a call saying, you know, the pastor fell out of his, hunting seat, and he had a heart attack, and he died. I said, oh, no, he didn't. And I said to my husband, you take me to the mountain right now. This was in Pennsylvania. We went to the highest mountain there, and I screamed atop my lungs and told God he was going to bring him back. So I felt a release, and I got my car, and I said, okay, we can go back now. He's back. I got home and they run to the car. You've got to call home, Delaware. You've got to call right now. Here's the number. They want you right now to call. So I called and they said, Barbara, quit your praying. Daddy said he does not want to stay here. He wants to go back to heaven. And if as long as you're praying, God told him he had to stay here. He wants you to quit praying. He doesn't want to come back. Or he didn't want to stay. He was back. I said, but God's going to do so many mighty things with him, but he does not want to stay. The man wasn't in sin. He had a church, and God had great and mighty things for him to do. But once people see heaven, they don't want earth again. I said, all right, I won't pray no more. And I said to the son, I said, I'll just tell God right now that if he wants to take him, go ahead. And he's, thank you. And the man died and went back to heaven. But see, the thing is the pastor said, as long as she's praying, I have to come back. I don't have a choice in this matter. I have to come back. Now, that's powerful prayers. And everybody in this room can have the same type of prayers. Okay, well, the guy I met died three times. I got to tell you the rest of the story. That's why I started telling you a story. Went to his funeral. He was a Smith Wigglesworth, brought all these people to death, pulled them out of the thread and shook them against the wall, and they had to come back to life. And I kept saying to Dick's brother, I said, I believe his name is Doug, I'm not sure. And I said, I know that if I go up there and pray, he'll come back to life again. He said, you sit right here. Don't you dare move. I said, no, but there's something in me tells me if I go up there and I pray, he has to come back to life. He said, don't you move. He held me in my seat. I really, really, really wanted to go up there and pray for him. But then that was dumb, too, because the reason why I let him go was because he wouldn't have went to heaven. But I just knew that. There's something in me knew that. Isn't that what Jesus did? He raised that boy out of the coffin. And now Kat Kerr says that God's going to perform such great miracles that the dead are going to be raised. Even the people who have been cremated are going to come back to life. And so here we go. It's miracle time. You're going to have to get your faith working. You're going to have to understand that God is in control. And you're going to have to go to him like a little child and just trust him and just pray. I always just go and pray. I just know that God hears my prayers. Sister Teresa told me that. I just know God hears my prayers. And I just know that, see, he tells me, now, if you pray this way, this is what's going to happen. I'll always honor your prayer. And this is what's going to happen. But if you pray this way, this is what's going to happen. And he tells me what's the best way to pray. You know, because he knows everybody's heart. Are you listening? What kind of a relationship do you have with your father? Do you talk to him? You're probably in a marriage where you don't talk to your husband or wife either. Therefore, you don't talk to the father. Come on. You have to talk to your father. He loves that when you fellowship with him. Remember the story when I was first born again where I thought I'd sinned and I hadn't. It was dumb. I just said something I thought I shouldn't have said. And I didn't talk to God for 3 days. Remember that story? And I got up out of bed that day and I went to the bay window and I said, oh, God. He laughed and laughed. He said, daughter, I've been waiting 3 whole days. I have to tell you something that's very important. God was waiting on me to talk to him so he could tell me something. That's a wonderful father. You know, that he's waiting on me, and I'm sitting there thinking that I don't have the right to talk to him. You have a right to talk to your father. Just tell him you're sorry for whatever you did and keep on talking, because he loves to hear your voice. He really does. You guys have got to get things together and understand you serve a God who is real. He's not some entity way out there somewhere just doing dumb things. He's real, and he loves you desperately. And he's asking you tonight to work on your faith. Trust and believe him. I don't know where I'm at, Nancy. The faith we each receive is his faith in the same amount as he had in his ministry when he was on the earth. The difference is in the development of it in our lives. In other words, we all receive the same faith that Jesus had, but we have to develop that faith. Now, you know, after a fashion, whenever, you know, the pastors in this area don't receive me. The men don't anyhow. The women don't really talk to me either. But anyhow, you know, they would say, you can't do that kind of stuff. And I'd say, why not? It says in the Word. But you don't understand. You can't. I don't care what you're saying. The Word says you can't do that. Well, then why is it in my Word? And then they say, you just should not even be teaching people because you teach them wrong. You can't do that in this dispensation. Oh, yes, you can. God didn't take it out of his word. It's in there. We can do it. We can do anything we want to do, you know, in the word. If we have the faith to believe, it's going to happen. Well, anyhow, they kept telling me that I couldn't do that. And I got that when I would start praying for people to be healed, I said, God, are you really going to heal them? They worked on my faith. See that? And my faith started waning. And then when I pray with people, I would lay hands on them and I say, God, please honor my faith right now. Please. I begged him, please. I'd never begged him before. Be healed in the name of Jesus, you know. Devils, come out of them in the name of Jesus. Now it's God. Will you please be with me so this really happens? It isn't anymore, but that's, I'm telling you, that's where I went from great faith to no faith. Questioning my faith, questioning God's word. All right, we've been there, done that. Let's not do it again. Let's go back to the basics of faith, understanding that if God said it, we can do it. Amen. I always think about Kenneth Copeland's two kids who wanted a boat. You know that story? And so Kenneth Copeland said, we don't have no money to buy a boat. If you want a boat, you're going to have to pray and believe for it. One day he got a knock on the door and he heard some guy say, God told me to bring this boat to you. It was a big boat. And then they got another knock door. God told me to bring this boat to you. And another big boat. And here each one of the children wanted a different type of boat. And so they got the two boats. They each got their boat. Now, you know, Kenneth and Gloria, they walk by faith. They really do. Everything they get is they believe God for it. And so they taught that to their children. And they would always tell them, if you want it, pray and believe God for it. And they'd always pray and believe God for it. And they got what they asked for. Amen. We don't teach our kids about faith. You little heathen, you better straighten up or you're going to go to hell, you know. Come on. Will you buy me this or you buy me that? We don't say, you know, well, pray and have faith and let God give it to you. We say, how much is it going to cost? You know what I'm saying? We don't teach them to faith. We don't teach them to walk by faith and pray it in themselves. I know some of you don't do that, but that's okay. That is what happens. All right. He is not only, Jesus is not only the author and finisher of our faith. I'm sorry. He is not only the author of our faith, but also the finisher or developer of it. Faith has to be used, or as Jesus put it in Luke 17:6. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, I'm going to stop and tell this church something. I forgot how many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, God told me, he said, I'm withdrawing my gifts from the church. He said, because they're trampling all over the blood of my son, Jesus. And so we were praying and believing. We weren't getting anything because we were, like I taught this morning, we were people who dishonored God and dishonored his son. And so God just withdrew his blessings. But now he's bringing them back. He told me 2 years ago, he's bringing them back into the church. Don't mock God. Don't mock the Holy Spirit. Don't mock the blood of Jesus. And when you pray and you believe, you're going to receive. Don't pray for somebody else's wife. It's not going to happen. All right. Don't pray for somebody else's bank account. It's not going to happen. But pray. And remember what the story of Kenneth Copeland, where he had to pay this big sum of money in his ministry. And God said, you know, it's going to be there. Well, the time came and went. And it wasn't there. And so he said, God, you said it was going to be there, so I'm believing you. And finally got a phone call. And a man said, Reverend Copeland, I'm terribly sorry, but God told me to write you this check. And he said the amount was the same amount that God said he was going to get. He said, it really slipped my mind. And God told me today, I better write it today or else. He said, so I'm putting it in the mail. See, it wasn't that God was late. It was the fact that the human that he was working through forgot. But God promised him he would have the money, and so he got it. All right? But they walk by faith, and they live by faith. I mean, they're holy people, and they do everything they're supposed to be doing. All right, so let's read that scripture again, Luke 17:6. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Like everything else, see, it's a lot of times when I pray, I give God that scripture because he said it in his word, right? And like I said, but the last 10 years now, God hasn't been honoring this for a lot of people because of the way they crucified Jesus all over again. All right, like everything else in the kingdom of God, faith is a seed that must be planted to grow. Turn to one more passage about our faith in Mark 11:21. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. See, don't doubt in your heart. Sometimes we doubt and don't even know we're even doubting. Because I did that. Didn't really. God said, you're walking in doubt and unbelief, and I can't answer your prayer. And I didn't even realize I was even doing that. So check yourselves. Make sure you're not walking in doubt and unbelief when you pray and believe. The cross reference in my Bible translates the Greek, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Jesus, referring to his faith, called it the faith of God. So that was God's faith being manifest that overcame that tree. The exciting thing about this verse is Jesus said, you use the faith of God. Then he taught them how it worked. The apostle, you can read that in your word. The apostle Paul wrote in Romans 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Paul said that Abraham used faith like God, calling things that be not as though they were. He was using God's faith. And that is the reason he, Jesus, the apostles, that you and I must use it exactly as he does. When we do, it will work the same way as when Jesus used it. It's in Romans 4:16, it says, therefore come boldly. Not begging and pleading, but boldly. And God's been telling us to go to the courtroom of heaven now with our case. And we don't go in there crawling on our hands and knees in the courtroom. We go boldly before the throne of grace and take our case before God, and so he can intervene and he can help us out, right? I don't know if you've ever been in a courtroom, but I've sat in a lot of courtrooms and listening, and people are bold. They shout, they carry on like fools, right? And they give their case. They don't even plead them. They just give the case. Hebrews 11:11 says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith, she had the child. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. In other words, he told Abraham his seed was going to be as the sand in the sea, right? Hebrews 11:29 says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. I know it sounds too good to be true. It is too good to be true, but it is still true. So fall in love with your faith. God gave it to you so you can live the way he lives, which is abundantly. Jesus said that the just shall live by faith. With faith, you can do all things, anything, nothing in this world can overcome you. Your faith has made you free. The truth of it has empowered you to be victorious in every area of your life. All right? I believe with all my heart that tonight, what God is calling us to do is to go back and just like a child and say, God, I just believe. I just believe. And if you said it, it can be done. Amen. Remember this morning in the video that Elaine talked about, we have just a window of time for revival to break out in America. And if it doesn't, then that window is going to close and we're going to be worse off than we are right now. The thing that's going to cause that window not to close on us is our faith. Now, we heard this morning about in Georgia where that church is having all those miracles. When God showed that pastor that his baptism pool was on fire, you know, he could have just forgot about it. But by faith, he believed God was showing him that miracles were in that baptismal pool. And look what they're doing. They're having revival for quite 18 months now. No, that's the oil is dripping from the Bible for 18 months. Well, it's all connected. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that if we really believed that the oil was going to drip out of our Bibles, it would. I really do believe that. But we pick up our Bible and say, I wonder if this is really going to work. Yeah. You know? But whoever owns that Bible, they just pick it up and the oil just pours out of it by the gallons. Amen? Aren't you ready to step into the miraculous? Aren't you tired of the mundane, the church services that we've been having? I want to see, I just want to see God come in here and just move. Just bury us with his glory. So, and then whenever he does it, we take it to the nations. We take it to the other churches. We take it to the streets. We take it everywhere. But unless you have faith and believe that God's going to do it, it's not going to happen. It won't happen. You need to rise up and shout, I'm a free man. I'm a free woman. Lay your hands on every troubled spot in your body and declare by faith, I am free of whatever it is that's going on in your body. You cannot stay in my body. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Lay your hands on your bills and mortgages and read John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If you remember Gary Whetstone's testimony, somebody told him that they were having money problems. The devil was stealing all their money, so they put their wallet. The man put his wallet on the floor and jumped up and down and told the devil he was going to take his hands off his wallet, and his wallet was going to be overflowing with money, and they haven't had a money problem since. By faith, he just did what the other man said he did. It worked for the other man. It was going to work for him too. You know, if it works for one person, it's going to work for a multitude. Then boldly declare, I'm sorry, lay your hands on your bills and mortgages and read John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Then boldly declare, I am free of debt. Say it knowing you are releasing God's faith in those debts when you say it. Now don't say, I'm free of debt, and then wait and see what happens. Walk it out. Walk it out. You're free of debt. Amen. Lay hands on pictures of your family members and loved ones and declare by the faith of God they are saved, healed, and prosperous in God. Speak out their protection and deliverance, especially if they are in harm's way. I got out a whole lot of pictures and I just prayed and prayed and prayed the other day. See, I used to do that, and see, I've gotten away from that. And now you have to get my faith working again and start doing it. Well, I was saying, God, why is it not working? My prayers aren't working. Why is this, these people still messed up? And God said, because you aren't activating your faith. So I did what I used to do, got out the pictures, start praying over them. You know, you're free. You're serving the Lord. Whatever I said, you know. I'm ready to see God set the captives free, aren't you? It's enough of us talking about it. Now let's put our words to action. And then let's see. All right, so if somebody can be a voodoo doctor and stick pins in a doll and affect you halfway over the world, why can't you lay your hands on a picture, pray for them, be delivered and set free, and it happen? We're dumb. We allow all this here witchcraft and everything else to be going on. So why don't we do what God tells us to do and watch God work on our behalf? Come on. Matthew 8:4 says, and Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but, you know, when he healed the person, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. I think that was the leper, right? Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word. See, you don't have to go into the house, God. Only speak a word and my servant will be healed. That's his faith working. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. You know, why you need to grab a hold of this scripture. If the devil's working in your children or whatever, and you're dealing with that. Now, see what else he said here. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. This man knew he had authority over the people under him, and so therefore Jesus had authority over the devils and over the sicknesses. See this? And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. If we would get our faith activated again the way we used to, we would see the very same miracles occur. We would. But we become lethargic, and we've been sitting on our faith, and we haven't been working with our faith, and therefore we're not seeing anything accomplished. And Matthew 8:14 says, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and then she rose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, just with a word, not with, come out, here's the cross, here's the blood, you know, splash water on him, just with a word. You see what I'm saying? I really believe, you know, we've been doing deliverance ever since we started the church, but I really believe it's time we go back to the basics where we used to be. Just by a word, they had to leave. We didn't have to gyrate and do everything else and have them do the dumb junk they do. See? When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits of the word and healed all who were sick. We need to understand that this is the greatest time in the history of this planet. It is our time. It is the back of the book time. Read it. We win. Luke 18:6 says, Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? You know, God has said to me many times, daughter, don't come to me with this problem again, because I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do what you're asking me to do. And I keep coming to him, and I keep coming to him. Finally, he said, all right, I'll do it. But this is the last time I'm going to do it. You know, I plead my case constantly because I can see where the enemy is really, really wreaking havoc with my family. And I know that eventually something is going to get through to them. Amen. And even though God said, you've done all you're going to do, and I'm not doing no more, it's up to them now, I still take them before the Father, and he goes, but he does what I ask him to do. Isn't that what this woman did? Kept going to the judge over, and finally the judge just gave her what she wanted to get rid of her. Sometimes I think that's what God does to me. Oh, Lord, let me do this and just get rid of her. Be better than having her torment me like this. Amen. What kind of a relationship do you have with God anyhow? Ask yourself that. Is it personal? You know, does he really answer your prayers? Does he really do what you ask him to do? Are you really comfortable with him where you go to him and just talk to him like you would, you know, if he was sitting here in your living room? You can go with him. He wants you to go and talk to him about everything and anything. But do you do it? Or do you sit and fume and fuss to yourself? I don't know why this isn't working. It's not working because you don't have faith to believe it is. You know, when Larry died, he left me with nothing, absolutely nothing. The kids said, what are you going to do? I said, God said he was my source, he was my keeper, and he's been keeping me. They said, we don't understand how you're making it. I said, God is my source. He told me he was my source before Larry ever died, not to depend on man. And so I don't. He's my source. He keeps us. Do you understand that? See, we depend too much on the arm of flesh. And God wants us to depend totally and completely on him by faith. And then watch him perform the miracles. I don't care what you have need of. God's going to lay it upon somebody's heart to come to you and give you and to meet your need. He just really is. I've always known that, but since Larry's passed, I can really attest to the fact that God has met. He meets every one of my needs. I don't have an overflow, but I don't even need an overflow. I just need my needs met. Amen. God said I would have an overflow, but when he's ready, he can give me that. But right now, I just need my needs met. Amen. Well, where's your faith at tonight? Get it out of your pocket. Or stand up if you're sitting on it. And just trust God. You have to start. God told me, a couple years ago, daughter, from this moment forth, you're going to walk by total faith. It's going to be total faith from now on. And he said, you're going to have to build up your faith like you never built it up before. And that's what I've been doing, building up my faith. Because God said I would have to have faith. And I've had to have faith. So what are you doing? You're not going to perish, I hope. I hope you're going to work on your faith after tonight, and I hope you're just going to let God go ahead and do what he needs to do in your life. It's miracle time. He said he's going to do all kind of miracles this year. Are you believing for that? Are you ready to get married, Elaine? All right, you're going to get married. I just looked at you and God said, this year. You know, that's been on my mind. I said, God, I am not going to say that to her. It's been on my mind for 2 weeks. I am not going to get involved with this. I'm not going to get involved in this. But God says, yes, you are. All right, God said, if you want mountain moving faith, the altar's open, and he's going to give you mountain moving faith tonight. And you're going to start seeing miracles. When you pray and you believe, God said, totally, completely believe, you're going to start seeing miracles happen in your life. And what's going to happen, whenever you go, you're going to spread that faith, and other people's faith is going to grow, and they're going to start seeing miracles, and it's going to be like a snowball event effect, and everybody's going to start having total faith. And this is how we're going to see great signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen? Come on, just raise those hands and let God touch you tonight. Come on, we need this miracle moving faith right now.